Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. Thank you to Jamf for sponsoring our show. More on that later. Breaking news, Google Next registration is live. Yes, already. Remember, it is in April, and it is going to be in Vegas. Registration is open, the price did go up. However, if you get in on the early bird price, you get a 50% discount. The price went up to $2,000 per ticket, but if you register now, you can get it down to $999. Other breaking news has been, Steve?
I was going to,
What did we do?
No, we didn't. Well, I didn't have the microphone.
You know, wasn't your turn to talk, so.
Let me do that. Well, I was just going to say that I think the discounted price is the same as what the discount price was for this
last time. Yeah, but the main price was like $15, $16 or something like that. Oh, no. And now it's $2,000. So definitely went up.
Right. It did.
One piece that I will say about that is it says it's on sale until the end of January 2024, obviously, or before the tickets run out. Now, that being said, a little birdie told me that the last event was 18,000 people, and they are targeting a much larger group of people in Vegas this year. So it's actually going to be targeted closer to 80,000 people. So I don't think we have such a high risk of it selling out this year. That being said, it's a solid discount there. 50% off and $2,000 is a lot of money for a concert ticket. A conference ticket. So I do recommend getting in and ordering that now. Other breaking news here. The last 72 hours has been one hell of a trip, roller coaster ride, crazy AI drama. OpenAI, you know, the company that makes a small product called ChatGTP, you may have heard of it. It set our industry on fire for the last, 6 months. They fired their co-founder, Sam Altman, with zero warning, and we still don't exactly know why. Then after that, a whole bunch of other execs followed him out the door in solidarity. And the board starts talking to Sam Altman about bringing him back. And they had a deadline, 5 p.m. I believe this was Saturday. And deadline came and went and nothing. And so then he was coming back the next day. They were going to have another 5 p.m. deadline. And apparently 90% of the staff, the current existing staff at OpenAI, has signed a letter threatening to quit if Sam is not brought back as CEO of OpenAI, and that the board needs to resign. Meanwhile, they had brought in promoted the CTO to temporary CEO for like a day, and then the following day hired, where's the name I had on this, the former Twitch CEO, and he's still technically the guy who's CEO, but I believe there was another person in there as well. There's been three CEOs in 3 days, we said, when we were looking at all the facts here. Microsoft, if you remember, is involved here. They invested $10 billion in OpenAI and are a big player, yet do not have a seat on the board. And they got exactly 60-second warning before this went live, and they're pissed. And so what ended up happening here is that Microsoft obviously is railing on the board. Hey, you fucked up, fix this. Meanwhile, they're not fixing it. And so Microsoft said to Sam Altman, okay, fine. They want to throw you out. Come work for Microsoft. We'll give you your own division, a whole brand new advanced AI department, and you can do whatever the hell you want with it, basically. And oh, by the way, anybody else who wants to leave OpenAI and come to Microsoft is welcome, including all the executives who left, including the 90% of their current staff who has stated that they would. Now, Salesforce also didn't make a similar offer, but similar offer to the staff, said that they would match the salary of anybody coming out of OpenAI who wanted to come over and work on their Einstein Enterprise AI product. And then an hour ago, just before the show, I heard that the board of OpenAI is now apparently trying to merge with Anthropic, which, if you'll remember from our coverage here, is heavily invested by Google and Amazon and is made up of people who left OpenAI because they didn't like OpenAI to found a competing firm and is their direct competitor. What is happening here? This shit's better than television.
Yeah, I mean, I think the board's made some pretty bad decisions here is what it sounded like. Because I was reading some other article where, some of the key people not on the board weren't even made aware of this change, or, you know, the initial firing, and everyone's kind of caught off guard by it. You know, one article I was reading was talking about how, you know, is some of the, I guess maybe the board was concerned about essentially just how fast, you know, the technology was moving forward and like what was going on with it, and how he was kind of, how Sam was kind of, you know, driving things forward so quickly, I guess. But I mean,
but this is a coup with a reverse coup and a double reverse coup and a Uno reverse coup. And good Lord. And honestly, the only winner in all of this is Satya Nadella with Microsoft, with the masterstroke smackdown there, scooping up Sam Altman and giving him everything he wants. And, you know, if Microsoft had bought OpenAI on the open market, it would have cost them a fortune, never mind all the regulatory BS that they would have had to go through. And they wouldn't have even gotten as high a number of people that would have come over to Microsoft as they're likely to get now if they had just bought the company. So it's just, oh, my God, insane. And it's like every I blink and three more things have happened. Two more CEOs. I don't know. It's absolutely insane weekend of updates. And there have been some serious reporting that's been going on, just trying to dig in and find out what's going on. Nobody really knows why he was fired. Totally unexpected. I don't know. It's been absolutely crazy. So the world of AI, folks, it's never slow and it's always fun, or at least interesting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
All right. We've got a show here. We've got a bunch of silent releases. Bunch of published. Yep. They came back.
Yeah, we've got a four. Got a few. Six updates this week. A couple of them at the end of the week. Recap there, four of them, like you said. And yeah, a few things in the news. I think a lot of the OpenAI stuff we talked about, but there's a few other things here, which I like this new
Already
tech security
one.
Keys. In the news. Yeah. Got to get some more. I lost a couple.
Boy.
I think I lost them in Vegas, actually. I lost one
at,
in Vegas.
At DEF CON, were you?
When I was out there earlier this year. No. It was a week, the week before the EDC festival out there, but just left it in the hotel room. Taking it out because I was recording the podcast. That's why I needed the ports for the podcast that day. Yeah. All right, well, let's run through those topics and dive into the details of those. So first one that Sun released there is enhancing Google Drive usability on large screen Android devices. We also have expanding Google Drive log events to additional Google Workspace additions. You can now easily convert hyperlinked text to smart chips using the tab key in Google Sheets. And then finally, there's some more languages available for Google Meet captions. And then in terms of our main release that we saw over the week, first one is that you can take action on Google Drive requests and comments directly in Google Chat. That's a pretty cool one. Makes it easier to respond to those. And next, App Sheet Smart Chips for Google Docs is now available. Next, you can view full screen task lists on Google Calendar. Good old tasks, making a little update there. I wish, there we go.
Finally.
Long applause. If only they put the amount of effort into like tasks that they did with emojis, we'd have a great app
even better
for tasks and things like that. Or I mean, I think chat's good.
It is.
A lot of
if they
updates,
put the but, same effort into tasks that they're putting in chat, I'd love it. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I
last
see.
Last three
you
episodes have been nothing but chat.
I thought you were talking about emojis into chat, like emoji effort into chat, but they are. Yeah. All right. We have some the ability to start important messages in Google Chat. That's nice. And read and write out of office and focus time events using the Calendar API. Ooh, I did see, speaking of, out of office, not really out of office, but it was email signatures. I don't know if you saw that, but the ability to sync email signatures to iOS devices broke.
Oh, yeah. I just ignored it. I just don't send emails from my phone anymore. It's one of the reasons why I hate Gmail and iOS.
Yeah. Well, that was discussed in the live event for the Q3 roadmap. And apparently they're working on it to fix it.
Well, let's fix the rest of the app too while you're at it.
Just don't use iOS anymore.
Yeah, then you'll be fine. I'm going to go back to carrying two phones around.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's dead.
No, just carry just one.
I like my 15 Pro Max.
Yeah. Thank you just much. One Android. Just one Android. That's all you need. All right. And then finally, we have improved search query suggestions in Google Chat on the web. And then let's see what else we have. We have no Chrome Enterprise updates on there. There were some Bard updates. So anyone interested in Bard, head over to the updates for that. There were some things that came out there. And then in some other news, as I said, Google announced some new Titan security chips, which are not chips, but keys, Titan security keys. Yes. And that's just the little announcement from The Verge there. Next, there's a 9to5 Google article here about Microsoft's new app lets Chromebooks stream Windows, but you can't yet use it. And then the Bleeping Computer, we've got an article here talking about Google's Google sharing plans for blocking third-party cookies in Chrome. So that's the updates we have for you. But first, I'll let Jesse give a little bit of word from our
sponsor, absolutely. Jamf. Big thank you to our sponsor, Jamf, our friends over at Jamf, who help us bring you these updates every week. For anyone supporting Apple devices alongside Google Workspace, Jamf is a must because they can essentially help you to secure and manage your Apple devices so that they perfectly integrate into your IT Google ecosystem. Google and Jamf integrations let you manage Chrome for safe browsing, achieve zero trust using Google Identity, and cover just about every other aspect of using Google on an Apple device. It is really sleek. They also tailor device management with endpoint security to different organization sizes and industries with special workflows and solutions so that everyone can benefit. I'd be surprised if you haven't heard of them already, especially because we love mentioning them on our show. But if that's the case and you haven't heard of them yet, definitely check them out, jamf.com/workspace recap. Again, jamf.com/workspace recap. And if you are on the podcast side, FYI, I am about to release the recording we did with them about their Jamf 100 certification onto the podcast networks. So if you haven't come over to YouTube yet and watched it, I did re-listen. It does work well for audio for the most part. Obviously, there's some things that you're just not going to be able to see as well over on the podcast side, but you'll get the main gist of what is possible and a lot of the really, really good topics and anecdotes and thoughts that they talked about on that show. So hopefully this week I'll be putting that out. Probably later this week. So stay tuned for that. On to the show.
On the show. Here we go. All right. So first update that we had, we mentioned those larger format Android devices, large screen Android devices are getting more additional enhancements. And what you'll now notice, a couple little things here that they mentioned, three new things. So above the main dock list, users will now see a tadpole folder hierarchy. I guess that's what it's referred to as a tadpole folder hierarchy for their current view. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what you'll see there. And that's going to allow you to keep track of, you know.
Not tadpole.
Oh, tappable.
Although I like where you're going with that. I get it, like, the tail, but, you know, tappable.
Yeah, okay, tappable. Oh, my gosh. I can't even read. Okay.
Rub the eyes, Steve. Come on.
Tadpole folder hierarchy. To read here, yeah, but
leave your glasses at home. You're at home. Go find them.
I actually did go to the DMV today though, and I got my driver's license replaced because I lost it.
Stolen. Well, with everything stolen. Else.
Yeah, that's why
the rest of your security keys.
Sorry. So that. Yeah, I think one of them. Yes, was in there. Gladly, luckily, not all of them, which was. So that's going to allow you to keep track of where they are in the drive and easily navigate out of nested folders. So that's the tappable folder hierarchy for the current view. There's a per file data column to show when a file was last modified and how much storage is used by each file. And then the color palette is going to match Google's Material Design 3 guidelines. All of those are rolling out to rep release domains. Well, those are all rolling out to rep release domains now. And then schedule release domains, we'll start to see that on the 27th of November next week, actually, and available to all Workspace and Google personal Google accounts. Next, we have the expansion of Drive Log events to additional Google Workspace editions. So this was something that was, I think, only available in the business standard and higher, I believe, or maybe more than that. But now it is now going to be available for Google Workspace Cloud Identity Free in Cloud Identity Premium Editions. So that Okay, let me check here what editions it still is on. Supported Frontline Starter, Frontline Standard, Business Starter, Business Standard, Business Plus. Okay, so Starter, interesting, Travelog events. See, I'm pretty sure that don't you remember them removing this from Business Starter and like G Suite
Basic? Weren't we talking about this? Was something else that was similar to this?
Were we? No, it was something. This we've not talked about Travelog events because that used to be something I remember we used to always like mention to organizations like any healthcare organizations, like you needed to have at least Business Standard or some of the higher tiers for the Travelog events to, you know, comply with some of the HIPAA requirements in terms of who was taking action on files and things like that. And that was available on the lowest tiers. But this says it's available pretty much to everyone now, and even the Cloud Identity accounts as well.
It's important to know who's touching what.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that this changed at one point. I wonder what the Wayback Machine says in that article. Yeah, you know, look that up while I talk about the update. See if you can find any updates on the Wayback Machine there in terms of what that used to be supported with. I just sent you a little link in the chat there. So let me just go back here to the update. I think here we go. Wait a minute, I deleted the tab here. Here we go. Okay, great. So that is rolling out now to rep release domains and schedule release domains, and that is on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 30 days for visibility. So for those of you that are looking for those, it could take a little while to get to your environment. And then next, we have got two more here in silent releases. Easily convert hyperlinked text to smart chips using the tab key in Google Sheets. So that will, kind of give you that ability to just, tab there and hyperlink that. Pretty straightforward. So this will be things like you'll be prompted to convert inserted file, people, calendar events, YouTube links, or place a link into a smart chip. So pretty useful feature there. This is rolling out to rep release and schedule release domains on a gradual rollout pace up to 15 days for visibility. And this is available to all Workspace customers and users with personal Google accounts. And then finally, in our silent releases here, we have some additional languages available for Google Meet captions. So you can now use captions in Google Meet in Finnish and Hebrew. And you can use captions to view those subtitles as everyone speaks during that meeting, of course. This is because they're kind of newly supported languages, they will be denoted as being in beta. And as they continue to optimize performance, they've also moved a lot of the beta tags off of a few other languages here. So as those have been around for a while, that has now come off. English UK, English or French Canadian. Those ones are two out of the beta, along with Thai, Vietnamese, Polish, Romanian, and Turkish.
Not seeing any change on the availability for the Drive audit log. Mm-hmm. I'm back in December of 21. It still says it's available for Frontline. So,
and Business Starter too as well.
Business Standard and Plus, but not Starter. Here. Oh,
see,
there you go.
That's different.
I was looking at Frontline and just thinking,
that's what's different. Go. Yep. Nope. So, it changed because it wasn't on a Business Starter.
So G Suite Business and Essentials, though. So, what's the difference?
It's not G Suite Basic. It was never on G Suite Basic.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Basic didn't have it, but then they changed it. There must have been an announcement at some point that log events. Are we going to drive log events?
Yeah, we'll find it.
Let's see.
Some of these in Wayback Machine are in Japanese.
All right.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, it's because I think the URL is technically the same. And if someone in Japan clicks on, take a snapshot of this page, then it stores that version because there's I think there's probably a question mark something, to change the language of the page, perhaps that they just think is the same page.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on.
Well, as of April, it still said business standard. So at some point.
Yeah, that's right. It changed, right? Okay. We'll have to look at that. Look that up. All right, let's look at that first update here, the first main update we have for the week. And that was you now have the ability to take action on drive requests and comments directly in Google Chat. So you'll be able to reply to and resolve comments in DocSheets slides directly from chat. You'll be able to show more of the comment thread so you can have more context while replying. And then you can also at mention your colleagues easily when replying to comments right there in chat.
This is something that I'm going to use on the regular because I find myself doing this in emails. Yeah. Something that we still haven't answered, though, is something that we talked about a long time ago, is if you get a request in here and you take action on it and you also got the email, does the email disappear or do you just mute all of those emails because you're getting them here in chat?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Had to play with it.
Don't know. I don't think they would probably show, right? I don't think that they're doing that. It's not like dynamic across.
Well, they're dynamic emails, but not that kind of dynamic.
Right. Dynamic in terms of response, but not like getting updates.
Dynamic in terms of being able to take the same action in the email, but yeah.
Yeah. But not, yeah. Yeah. Imagine that, like, just like, imagine like a Google Doc email almost.
Yeah. That's what they were originally, basically, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what they were trying to do, exactly.
It was Inbox.
What was it? What was it? What
Inbox
was the
platform? Did that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's see. Look, there's no, that's all the details on that update. In terms of rollout pace for this one, this is on a full rollout, 1 to 3 day feature visibility. Rollout started on the 14th of November for both rapid release and scheduled release domains, and it's available to all workspace and personal Google accounts. Next, we have the ability to bring AppSheet smart chips into Google Docs. So you can easily insert smart chips from DocSheets and slides and files and calendar and all this other stuff here. And you can now insert that those smart chips for AppSheet content. So it's going to allow you to access that data from AppSheets directly into Docs and be able to take some action on that data, including triggering automations without having to leave Docs. And it gives us a nice little example here. And I mean that specifically, a nice little example. It is very difficult to actually see the example because the animated GIF is pretty small. So you might have to squint to see this one. Rollout for this one is available now to everyone that has access to AppSheets and Google Docs, of course. So anyone that has AppSheet license, you'll be able to access this new feature now. Next, we have the ability to view full screen task lists on Google Calendar. So there was a recent, of course, migration of reminders from Google Calendar and Google Assistant over into Tasks to kind of provide a more easy way to view and manage all the to-dos in one place. So now they're going to provide us with a full screen desktop experience to view all tasks together.
Well, they've been screaming and praying this for this for years.
Nicely sized. Yeah. Yep. This one has a nicely sized animation here. And
more than animation, I already have it.
I have it. I see it too. Yep. Yeah. And it's a URL. You can get there from a URL. So that means that you can kind of create a little, probably web app, I bet. Yeah. So, that could be useful.
It's still not, as functional as far as a tasks application, task management tool goes, but...
No, but like in Chrome, you can say, open page as an app.
Right,
you can have
right. No, I meant the feature set of tasks itself is not where it needs to be, it's really solid if you just want to brain dump or you want to throw stuff in here real quick or access it real quick on the go or just make a list of something simple.
Yeah.
So... It's about damn time.
Here we go. Yeah. All right. Pretty cool feature. Try it out now. You probably have access to it. Rollout here. It was yeah, it looks like I guess we've run wrap release, right, with the Workspace admins, yep, TabGeeks domain. That started the 16th of November on a wrap release, up to 15 days for visibility for those users. Scheduled release domains will see this on the 1st of December, also on the same 15-day gradual rollout pace, and available to all Workspace and personal accounts. Next. You know what? When they say available to all Workspace and personal accounts, what's the rollout pace for personal accounts?
I don't know. Probably
is it,
slow.
Is it based on the rapid release date or the scheduled release date?
Oh, I see. You
date?
Could say that they're using the free ones as guinea pigs. I feel like...
Because you know what? I see it on consumer, on personal Google accounts already.
I don't think I even...
So they must be following They must be following the rapid release.
Could be.
Domain.
I don't think I even remember the password to my personal Gmail account. Never ever use it.
That's weird.
I should figure it out and then put a pass key on passwords, it, just so that I got it. Yeah. To my thing.
It might are just all unique and password right. managers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you see that? Did we talk about the issue with like Okta and 1Password and HAR files,
yes,
and how that was
did
kind
we talk
of
about that? I don't yeah. remember. I've had several about conversations it, but... about it. I think we did mention it right after it had happened. Yeah. Talked about sanitizing.
Yeah, you gotta
HAR
be careful.
Files.
I mean, Google asks about that mm-hmm. all the time.
So does by the way.
You know, the HAR
so does Okta. It's in Okta. There. Yeah. Now, could they have built an automatic sanitizer? Maybe. Will they do that now? Probably.
Yeah. 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 Should you just, blindly send everyone a HAR file? Probably not.
Yeah. We've all done it, though. Anybody who's right. done significant
oh,
support,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
you
sure.
know, requests for anything browser-based, yeah. the first thing they ask for is, well, did you reboot your machine? Yeah. But after that is, give me a HAR file and record what you did into that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. That's got legit stuff in there, so careful.
Yeah. Next, the ability to start important messages in Google Chat.
Yay.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's, is that going to show up
that's
in your start messages
here, yeah.
in Gmail?
No. It shows up in the new sidebar.
No.
I doubt it's going to show up in Gmail.
Okay, but yeah. Okay, so, well, because, you know, like when you're inbox, you have starred, and you used to be able to have because you know Messenger, mm-hmm. right? Hangouts was just all part of your inbox, right? Because it was all there, and you could star the Hangout mm-hmm. messages because they
right.
looked just like an email.
And they basically were emails,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder, is it going to be? I doubt it's going to be visible in the starred.
Yeah,
there,
know.
Right. I don't know. I don't have the new view yet for chat in this account. But I think I have it in one of my others.
I have it in one of my accounts. I don't have it on the TabGeek side yet, which is interesting because TabGeek usually is one of the ones that gets things really quickly. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have it on my 22D1. Yep.
Well, I will say that I noticed this today when I was playing around with it is, and I appreciate this so much, is that they made the size of the individual names in the left sidebar smaller. And by doing that, they removed the little message preview that was in there. But now I can fit more of them in my pinned area before it disappears into the See More area. And I appreciate that so much because I was like 4 or 5 short of that space, but they take up a lot of space there. Now they all fit very nicely. So thank you for that, Google. Big fan.
Okay. Yeah, I do notice that.
It's more compact, more clean. I do wish there was more functionality in the shortcuts. I wish that I could like double star an extra special chat to get it up on the top there in shortcuts or something. Put a task shortcut up there.
Oh my gosh. Starring messages is unavailable in existing spaces organized
Stop
by conversation
it. Oh,
topic.
Well, yeah. Okay, fine.
Legacy.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's a different architecture there, obviously, given the fact that it needs downtime to migrate them over.
Yeah.
All right, wrap it up.
I'm just looking at the getting started here. Start message, hover over the message, click the star icon. I don't see that in the environment that I have the new design, so it's not quite out yet to everyone. You can unstar a message from the original message or unstar it from the shortcut. This will be available on mobile in 2024. And roll at pace for this started on the 16th of November for rapid release domains and an extended, potentially longer than 15-day rollout. And then similarly, extended, potentially longer 15-day rollout for scheduled release domains starting on the 30th of November and available to all Workspace and personal accounts. All right, two more to go. You can now read and write out of office and focus time events using the calendar API. So the API can now be used to like automatically block focus time on the user's calendar to complete certain kind of training courses here. It gives you as an example. And there are some specifics on this. So reading and writing out of office and focus time can be helpful in these few kind of situations that they give you here. So creating and updating out of office and focus time events in general. So you have events insert, events update, and event patch, commands there from the kind of developer side of things. And specifying out of office focus time specific features such as auto declining meetings and setting do not disturb statuses. And then also selecting any combination of event types to read from a calendar, so event list function there. So also says further reading and writing this information eliminates the need for users to enter the same information into multiple systems, helping cut down on manual churn. Some cool examples in here, actually, more than just kind of the technical aspects of it, but they kind of go describe some other examples on why you'd use it and some additional details here. So if you are a developer and wanting to or need to deploy some of these kind of things for your users, there's a lot more info in the developer resources section. This is on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days. For both rapid release and scheduled release domains, and it started on the 16th of November. The calendar chat API is available to everyone. Out of office events is available to only certain SKUs, and then focus time events are also only available to certain SKUs. So if you're unsure of whether or not your organization is going to have out of office events or focus time events, have a quick look at the article to kind of review those SKUs again. And finally, we have this week anyways, improved search query suggestions in Google Chat on the web. So there is an introduction here to enhance search query suggestions, a feature that's already available on mobile. So this is now coming over to the web. And when you search for things here in chat, you will have you'll see a query suggestions based on historical search activity sorted by relevance here. The top suggestions will also appear in the search box, and you can press tab to autofill the query. You can also delete a suggested query by hovering over it and clicking on the X icon next to it. There we go. Rollout pace for this one. Rapid release domains started to see this on the 17th of November on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there. Also, same rollout schedule for scheduled release domains, but starting on the 6th of December, and all Workspace customers and personal Google accounts will see that update. And those are your updates for the week.
All right, on to the news. As we talked about before, Google has a new Titan security key. It is updating the previous ones they had before. You have a USB-A option and a USB-C option. One of the new things they added to these is that you now have NFC on both of them. So you don't have to worry about choosing which one you want for that, I imagine is welcome to many of the more legacy users such as Steve. Meaning you've had it for a long time.
Legacy yeah. Keys. I mean, I thought that the both of those keys had NFC on both of them.
I think that maybe both the 2021 versions had it.
Yeah.
So that they can connect wirelessly, etc. Anyway, either way, you can use old school plug-in USB-C or A, or you can use NFC. It does say that the USB-C new version does work on the new USB-C iPhones and iPads, etc. So good stuff there. Pretty much all there is to say about that. I already did order one. Steve, did you order one? You're going to order a couple?
Well, I'm on the page right now. You know, I was just thinking, I was like, oh, shit. No, not out of stock. But I was thinking, like, I had a lot of store credit, and I thought it expired like yesterday, but actually expires in 6 days.
Get it.
So, yeah.
That and another pair of your $98 that says it'll your headphone, whatever they're called, the Pixel Buds. You constantly need a new pair, so go for it. All right, so that's out. They already sold out once and came back in stock. So if you are interested in these, go and grab one like Steve is doing while I continue talking here. They are $30 and $35 for USB-A and USB-C, respectively. So good stuff there. Always good to have a little extra update there and keep them fresh, keep them new. Onward, Microsoft has a new app that lets Chromebooks stream Windows, but you can't use it just yet. They have a quote-unquote Windows app, which, as detailed by Microsoft, is a new offering that allows users to access remote desktop services as well as a full Windows Cloud PC on other devices, whether that's a Windows machine, iPhone, iPod, or Mac. However, Android is not supported, as well as anything with a desktop browser is. Essentially, Microsoft goes on to describe the app, saying that Windows app is your gateway to Azure Virtual Desktop, Windows 365, Microsoft DevBox, remote desktop services, and remote PCs. You can use the Windows app on many different types of devices, obviously, yada, yada, yada. When using a web browser on a desktop or a laptop, you can connect without having to download and install any software. But Chrome OS is supported, and it's the official one of the things that is officially supported here. Microsoft does note that you'll need at least Chrome OS version 57 or newer, which, as they say in the article on 9to5 Google here correctly, isn't exactly a high bar. So it's not quite available yet. The only people that can access it are those with a business or a school account. So if you are using Microsoft in some way in your organization, even though you're obviously on Workspace because you're listening to this show, if you manage licenses through Microsoft for some instances of Office, you'll be able to test this out and play around with it, or through a school account as well. Then last and not least is Google shares plans for blocking third-party cookies in Chrome. This is a key aspect of its privacy sandbox initiative, and something that needs to happen as it works to eliminate third-party cookies. They say that this phase approach begins with a 1% user testing period early in 2024, leading to a more expensive phase rollout in the third quarter of 2024. And the article goes on to describe what cookies are, but I'm pretty sure everybody listening to the show knows what cookies are. But essentially, this is another further evolution of the browser to continue evolving the web to make it faster and more secure. So if you're interested in all of the wonderful details there, feel free to head out to the link in our notes to Bleeping Computer and check that out. All right, that's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter at Workspace Recap and on our website, workspacerecap.com. Hit the subscribe button wherever you're enjoying the show, if you would. Subscribe if you're on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Drop a comment down below. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next week on Workspace Recap.